And the people says, Amen. Praise God. Good morning, folks. Were you here last Sunday? That was a powerful Sunday. Anybody here, raise your hands if you were here last Sunday. Powerful, powerful message of a life being that has been transformed by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was truly blessed by that message. And for each and every one of us that has encountered the Lord, that is actually a reality of our experience, a transformed life through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are opening a new series, sermon series, on worship. Why do we need to worship God? And I would like to invite the congregation actually to look to your left or to your right and say to somebody, God has something special for me. God has something special for me. Amen. And for you. We don't want to be selfish, right? And for you. I have been observing in my work as a hospital chaplain that in the body of Christ, we could find people that are confessing that they believe in the Lord, or that they would use the term, I am a Christian. But the substance of walking in that Christian life, the testimony of walking in that Christian life is shallow, if even sometimes not there. And so that has brought me into the place, even though we have assigned to be just focusing on the word worship, or worshiping, that has drawn my spirit into going back to the foundation of true worship. And the foundation of true worship is when we grab the truth of the covenant of God in our lives. In other words, I would put it this way. Those people that knows how to worship understands covenant. They understand covenant. And this is where the crisis is. Now, I'll start off with two important verses over here. Psalms 89:34. We'd start off with that scripture. And it says here, I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth of my lips. This is the God who created the universe and everything, and you and me. He will not violate his covenant. And actually, this is a reflection also of Isaiah 55:11-12. It says, so is my word, it shall not return to me void, but will accomplish my desire and achieve the purpose by which I send it. Jeremiah 1:12 also reflects this. You have seen what's right, Jeremiah, for I am watching my word until it reaches its completion. He is a very intentional God, brothers and sisters, and he will never violate his covenant. The second verse here of interest before we plunge into our sermon for today is Psalms 25:12-14. And it says there, who are those who fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. They will live in prosperity and their children will inherit the land. I want to kiss that verse, by the way. Now, verse number 14. The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant. If we fear the Lord, he is our teacher when it comes to covenant. And this is very foundational for worship. Covenant, as we find the descriptions in dictionary over here, we have, it's a contract, it's an agreement, undertaken, commitment, guarantee. Covenant could be a warrant, pledge, promise, bond, indenture, pact, deal, settlement, arrangement, understanding. But I like the part that says it is a guarantee. I like that. You may probably have a preference in the interpretation of covenant. But for me, I like the word, amongst all those words, the word guarantee. In Titus 1:1-3, it says that Paul, talking about covenant, something happened even before the creation of the world. Before the beginning began, as we understand the beginning, something happened in eternity past. In Titus 1:1-3, it says here, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. So there was a promise that something happened before the beginning of time. And that would be our interest right now when it comes to covenant. In 1 Peter 1:18-20, this echoes the same word. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which loses their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as the ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake and for my sake. So it's the same message. Something happened before the world began. And this was a conversation between God the Father and God the Son, and they made a covenant before time began. You know, God being the Alpha and Omega, he knows that Eve would one day be tempted and be taking that fruit, that forbidden fruit. And so the tragedy of our circumstance was seen by God Almighty before the world began. So God essentially was saying to his Son, you know what? They have this free will. It's such a powerful, powerful part of being a human being. And we know that the free will would be an avenue whereby Satan would allure and seduce and bring Eve and all humanity, even Adam, I want to be fair, into this tragic situation, and we need to save them. My love for humanity will not cease. My love endures forever and forever. And we could see the flow of this covenant and agreement between the Father and the Son flowing through the canvas of humanity. In Psalms 89:28b-29, we could read here, verse number 28, my covenant with David, with him, David, he was talking to David, about David, will never end. I will preserve an heir for him. His throne will be as endless as the days of heaven. So he was referring to an heir here that is coming through David. And this was about 2,000 years before the heir came. And we know who the heir is. The heir is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the promise. His throne will be as endless as the days of heaven. Now there's this response to the covenant that had been established in eternity past before the beginning began. And the Son embraced this agreement. He embraced this covenant with the Father. Psalms 46:11 says, you take no delight in sacrifices or offerings. Now that you have made me listen, I finally understand. You don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. If he requires that, then there's no need for him. Then he said, look, I have come as it is written about me in the scriptures. Now when Christ was here, he was He was telling his disciples, he was telling the people, it is written about me. So everything about the covenant, you could find it in Scripture. Look, he said, I have come. Meaning to say he had responded to the covenant that the Father has talked about. Now there are terms of the covenant that Christ agreed on. And it says here in Philippians 2, 6 to 8, though he was God. Now I want you to think about covenant. This is covenant. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling on. Instead, he made up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. All of this has been agreed on in eternity past, before time began. This was the terms. You will be stripped of your equality with God. You will be made nothing. You will, your nature will be as a servant. Your likeness will be as man. You will die a humiliating death on the cross. This was all part of the covenant. It was not it didn't take place without Christ agreeing with it. This is because he had you and me in his mind. Amen? You and me in his mind. In the Old Testament, we could find also the echo of this covenant. In Isaiah 42, it says, look at my servant whom I strengthen. He is my chosen one who pleases me. You know, that the life of Christ was saturated by that thought. I want to please my Father. I want to do His will. I have put my Spirit upon Him. He will bring justice to nations. By the way, the Spirit that has been given to Christ. Remember the time when Jesus Christ was baptized, when He raised up from the water? The dove came and the Spirit of the Lord was given unto Him in full measure. Unlike each and every one of us, we only have like drips and dripples of the Holy Ghost. But in terms of Christ, He was given the Holy Ghost with no measure. He will not shout or raise His voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged. He will not falter or lose heart until justice prevails throughout the earth. Even distant lands beyond the sea will wait for His instruction. Thank God there's that part of Scripture. Even distant lands beyond the sea. I could all think about the Philippines and all the islands there is. Because of the grace of God. Continuing in Isaiah 42, it says, God, the Lord, created the heavens and stretched them out. He created the earth and everything in it. He gives breath to everyone, life to everyone who walks on the earth. And it is He who says, I, the Lord, have called you to demonstrate my righteousness. I will take you by the hand and guard you, and I will give you to my people Israel as a symbol of my covenant to them. And you will be a light to guide the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in dark dungeons. And this is the exact word that the Lord Jesus Christ was saying when He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Wow. Powerful covenant. This was His task. And He absorbed it completely. Isaiah 55 and verse 7, continuing on the issue of covenant here. The Lord God has opened my ear and I obeyed Him. I did not turn my back. I gave my back to those who would hit me. Meaning to say, when they were talking, when the Son and the Father was talking, they're going to hit you, Son. They're gonna slap your face, pull out your beard on your face. I did not cover my face in shame, and as they spit on me. He knew exactly what will be happening to him. And he said, yes to the covenant. For the Lord God helps me, so I am not put to shame. I have set my face like hard stone and know that I will not be ashamed. Wow. And everything that has been written to him happened. Now, there are two distinct roles of Christ in the covenant, in the new covenant. Two distinct roles that he said yes to. The Father said, you will be coming here on earth as a priest. Hebrews 4:15, 16 captures this. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. The role of the priest, brothers and sisters, in our dilemma, in my dilemma, as a sinner forgiven by God, is that I need a priest right there in the holiest place to intervene and intercede for me. Isaiah 59:2 says, for your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sin has hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. We are separated from God because of our sins, and we need a priest to intervene for us. What a blessing, right? So he came as a priest, and this was part of the covenant. Another thing that he came as a shepherd. Your shepherd and my shepherd. And it says here in Psalms 23, our favorite, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside waters. Meaning to say, when God was talking to the son, the father said, you're going to be a shepherd. And you will provide for them. You will let them lie down in green pastures. You will lead them beside still waters. You will restore their soul. You will lead them in right paths for my name's sake. Yeah. As they walk to the darkest valley, they will fear no evil, for you are with them. Your rod and your staff will comfort them. You prepare a table before them in the presence of their enemies. You will anoint their heads with oil until their cup overflows. There are certain hymns, actually, that my cup overflows. This is because of Christ and the covenant. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord one of these days. Amen? So just because of the covenant. I remember the time, you know, I was driving, usually going to work, you know, I passed through that place that I don't know who owns those houses. They're mansions. They're by water and you know, beautiful homes. And I was saying, the Lord saying, wow. You know, I was saying to myself, wow, look at those houses. But the Lord spoke to me, you know what, son? What I'm preparing for you, no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, what God has prepared for you. It's beyond your imagination. It's beyond your comprehension what God has prepared for you and for me. So this was the terms of the Father, you know, the things that will happen to the Son, and the Son says, yes, Lord. Yes, Father, I'm gonna absorb it. Now, the next part over here is the Father's promised covenant to his Son, with his Son. So what is the promise of the Father in the covenant? Philippians 2, 9 and 11, it says, therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we put this in context. And the context is this. God, Son, I will highly exalt you. I will give you the name that is above every name, so that in your name, Son, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess, Son, that you are Lord, for the glory of God the Father, for my glory. So that's why we end prayers in the name of Jesus, right? So, and all this has transpired. And Christ in his life, when he was about to be taken to heaven, actually prayed up the covenant to God. He prayed up the covenant to God. The fulfillment of the new covenant is found in John 17. Now, in John 17, this is a familiar passage for us. It's the high priestly prayer of Christ. And on there we could see, after Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work. I have glorified you by finishing the covenant that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world began or before the world existed." Amen. He is tying up all the things that he has done in following the Father, and he has the right to be worshipped and to be blessed because he is part of the Godhead. Amen? Continuing, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you have sent me. They do not belong to the world, just I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me in the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of this, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one." It's so good to be one with God, amen? Because of the covenant. Here is Christ finishing up the covenant and drawing us in the covenant. He is the head, and we are the body. If the head is holy and sanctified, so are you, so are me. We are sanctified because of the word given to us. Thank God Christ has completed the covenant and included us in the covenant. That's a blessing. Tremendous blessing. "I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me." So as Christ is being loved by the Father, the head being loved by the Father, so the body is being loved by the Father. It's the same love. The love of God for the head is the same love that he has for you and for me, the body. There is no difference. Because we became one with him through the covenant. Wow. Now, only here in humankind, you know, particularly those parents, you know, with multiple kids. And some of the parents would love another kid better than the other kid and all this. I'm talking truth here. I'm talking truth here. Okay? Especially with multiple kids. I remember in the Philippines, you know, we have kids that are bright. Oh, he's going to be a doctor. Another kid, oh, he's going to be an engineer. But the third one is like, he's going to be a pastor. So, anyway, you know, we have certain things that, you know, But in the case of God Almighty, He loves us as much as He has loved the Son, as He loves the Son. Now that is what you call this, something to munch on. Say, I am loved by God as much as He has loved His Son. Think about it. Think about it. Now, this is powerful that we have been drawn in the covenant. But what is powerful is what follows in the prayer, the highly priestly prayer of Christ in terms of the covenant. That's in verse number 24. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Here we go again. Right? He's going back before the foundation of the world. And I like that part, that they may be with me where I am. Hey, that means you are going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. And the saying in Texas is true, you ain't seen nothing yet. We're going there to be with Him that we may see His glory, the glory that He has even before the world began. Now, fast forward to the book of Revelations. Actually, we could see this also, this before the world began. Revelations 13, 7, 9, it says here, and the beast was allowed to rage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. Meaning to say, it's going to be getting worse, brothers and sisters. It's going to be getting worse. You got to take hold of the covenant. And all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. There we go again. So those people only that could survive this world in worshiping God and being steady and faithful with Him are people of covenant. Only those people that are in covenant with Him. So rightfully, the title, the New Covenant and the Lifestyle of Worship, we could have a lifestyle, we could develop a lifestyle of worship if we could just understand how God has been so generous to each and every one of us in covenant before the world began. He had you specifically in mind before the world began. And looking at the book of Revelations again, Revelations 5, 13, 14, it says there, and then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. They sang, blessings and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living beings said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. Wow. He is worthy to be worshipped now and forevermore. And He has received worship. He is glad to receive worship. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident. And we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in the body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him. Amen? So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we please Him. Romans 12, it says here, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Amen? In Tagalog, we would like to say, magkaroon ka naman ng utang na loob. See what the Lord has done to you. Be generous also in sacrificing your bodies and honoring Him. Let them be as a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior of the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Amen? We could worship God through our bodies. We could worship God through our spirit. And He is worthy of all of that. In the next slide, we could find here Psalms 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to Him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to Him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in His hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountain. The sea belongs to Him, for He made it. His hands form the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people He watches over, the flock under His care. If only you would listen to the voice, to His voice today. It's easy to worship God and to have a lifestyle of worship if we understand what He has done to us and for us in covenant. Keep covenant in front of you. Don't veer to the left and the right. God is so generous to you. God is too generous to me. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, we worship You and we thank You for what You have done. There was a conversation. There was an agreement, a guarantee that has been established, Lord God, before the time began. And all of us are included in that conversation. All of us, O Lord God, in this world, O Lord God, that You would be saving. You said, I will not let go of You. And so because of that, O Lord God, You have not let go of each and every one of us and tied us in that covenant through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, we are one with You and we will live with You forever and ever. You are worthy, Lord, to be worshipped. You are worthy, Lord, to be praised both now and forevermore. And everybody says, amen and amen.